excited to have our brother and sister, DJ and Lindsay DeMarco, here with us this morning. To give you a little bit of background with my association, not so much with DJ and or Lindsay, I just met Lindsay, but DJ more so with his family. I have had the privilege of serving on the presbytery with his grandfather, Gino DeMarco, who's now with the Lord. And Gino and his wife, Norma, have four kids, right? Yeah, four kids. And I know three of them pretty well. They're all the sons. Gino Jr. And then probably the one that I'm most acquainted with is Sam DeMarco, who is the pastor of New Brighton Christian Assembly. And I had the privilege of serving with Sam for probably over 20 years on the presbytery, and I know Sam very well. And Sam's now the district overseer of our district. And then DJ, David Jr., correct? David? Technically law. What does the J stand for? Joshua. David Joshua. But his father is David DeMarco, whom you know well. And your dad was here with his team. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, we rented out a theater and we put on a concert and it was great. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful time with your dad. And so even though I don't know you as well as them, I know you come from good seed. And I can remember when we were at the credential retreat about 2 years ago, maybe three, and we would break off into circles and we would have prayer time together. And I remember when you were in the middle, and I remember the scripture that came to us while you were there is that we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. And that is the legacy that you carry. And I'm sure that Lindsay carries as well. And that generation after generation, they are cheering you on. And so I want you to know that it is actually a privilege for us to just be able to be a part of any way we can play a part in this incredible synergy of the ages that God is continuing through you both as he opens doors for you in ministry to carry on the incredible gospel that our Lord started. And so give them a warm CCNA welcome as they come, DJ and Lindsay.
I'm just going to surround you.
Blue and red, yes.
Awesome.
Oh, talk about legacy.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
She is 37 and a half weeks. So, yeah, we're down to the wire. So, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having us. Pastor Rob, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, I've known you, your son, forever. JJ was in here playing drums. But, oh, you're right there. You're right in front of my face. And I will unashamedly say, get your teens to that power source camp. JJ was my, what was that? Was I in eighth grade the first year that you were the leader for me at camp? But those camps changed my life, experienced God in ways that, I mean, I still remember. And a big reason why, you know, I'm serving him and going to other nations. And so get your kids to camp. It's amazing. but yeah, as Pastor Rod said, I'm DJ. It's my wife, Lindsay. She's amazing. So we are missionaries with Overland Missions. We actually met in Zambia. She's originally from Illinois, and we went to the same training back in 2018 to become missionaries. She had nothing, she didn't want anything to do with me, for the whole time we were there, but.
I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think I was either, but, God had other plans, and, we just celebrated our year anniversary just last week, and in 2 weeks, and some change, we're going to have a baby. So, yeah, we don't, yeah, pray for that. Pray for an early delivery or on time, fully healthy baby. But yeah, we're just so glad to be here. Yeah, it's just an honor to be here. So, all right. You want to share a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to. You took part of my spiel, actually.
Sorry.
Trying to think in my mind where I want to start. Yes, so we're missionaries. We've been missionaries for probably about like 2 years, ish. But we work, just to give you like a little bit of background on what we do, and because missions can look different and in different capacities and with different organizations. So we work for an organization called Overland Missions. And Overland Missions was actually founded by a military. He served in the South African military guy. And so his vision, Phil and Sharon, do you have something to say?
No, I was just going to say his name. Okay.
Their heart and their call for the missions organization is for the unreached people groups. And so a lot of times, and the reason I mentioned the military background, is we use military-grade technology to get to unreached people groups that nobody has ever heard of, nobody's able to get to, are sometimes their own local government don't know they exist. And so we use military vehicles called DAF trucks in Africa to get to the rural parts. We use satellite technology to locate people. And we, DJ and I, he's going to explain a little bit more about our specific job. But we get the honor and the privilege to bring the gospel to people who have never heard of the name of Jesus, have no concept of Christianity. They don't know what church is. They don't know what kingdom culture is. They don't know anything. I remember we were, one of our friends was in Cambodia, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were explaining to them about Jesus. And so Cambodia they're Buddhist. And they were explaining about Jesus, about this man, Jesus. And they're like, well, can you take me to this place, Jesus? I want to go to this place, Jesus. And so just no concept of Christianity, yeah, of who Jesus is.
He thought that it was a location, not an actual person.
Yeah.
And it was just mind blowing.
Yeah. And so we truly believe our slogan is any road, any load, any time. We believe that God is the God that leaves the 99 to go after the one. Yeah. And so we, you know, walk for miles to get to the one. We drive for hours to get to the one. Yeah, so we love what we get to do.
Yeah. It's super exciting. And could you put up that picture of the campsite? Just to give you like a little bit, like when we say we go out into like harder, we like camp out in the village, like that's what we do. And we love it. We love it so much. And our specific job within Overland is what we're called expedition leaders. So what an expedition is we lead, it's like a 2-week mini missions trip. And so we lead those. And we really use these trips to break into new areas with the gospel. We have a team that's on the ground that builds their life there, that does discipleship, and we're in close relationship with the team there. But we're kind of the spearhead to break into new areas. And so we'll go in with a team, with people, hopefully someday some of you guys. that would be awesome. And we go and we just hit every single house with the gospel. We make sure that there's not a single house that we don't visit. And we just, it's simple. We just sit down with the family. We just ask about their life. And, you know, we're like, hey, we came here with a message about this man, Jesus. And we want to tell you about him. And we lay out the gospel. We pray over the sick and we see people healed. And we do big community meals and invite them to come. And we preach the gospel. It's all around preaching the gospel and healing and watching the Lord just do signs and miracles. And then when they leave, our job is to connect all the people that got saved and anybody we see potential leadership in with our team, which we call sector missionaries. And they establish a Bible study and they follow up with discipleship, because it's awesome. We want souls in heaven, but we also want those souls to become discipled so that they can disciple other people. And then it's disciples discipling disciples. And, you know, it just, we would like to work ourselves out of a job ultimately, you know, we're going there because there's a need, but ultimately that God, we believe that God would raise someone up in that community that has a heart for the people there, and we wouldn't have to be there. And so that's a little bit about like what we do specifically.
A lot of our translators, the people who translate for us, they are actually our ministry partners. So they are the indigenous people who got saved through an expedition and are being discipled by the sector missionaries. And now they're getting to co-labor or preach alongside of us, which is really, really awesome. But Just to give you an idea of what ministry looks like, I was going to share a testimony really quick, if that's okay. I love testimonies.
Can you put up the picture of the one with the tent and the kid? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Visuals are great. we're on expedition, and the previous day the team had walked so far in the other direction. I believe they walked. It took them like 3 hours, 4 hours to get back to camp for dinner.
Yeah,
because they had walked so far. And so the next day we were like, okay, we're going to get in the car and we're going to drive a couple of villages down just so that we can go any further. And we had heard from one of the locals that there was some witchcraft going on, and which is really common in Africa. We were in Zambia at the time, and it's just traditional worship of ancestors and things like that. A lot of times, you know, in the rural parts of Africa, they don't have a doctor or they don't have anybody to turn to. So when they get sick or they start having nightmares, they go see a witch doctor, and a witch doctor typically puts a curse on them and makes things worse. And so we go straight for, whenever we hear that there's witchcraft going on, we go straight for the witch doctor, straight to the source, present the gospel to them. So when we heard that there was witchcraft going on, we were like, okay, we want to go there. Because they need Jesus. They need freedom. And so there was probably like 10 of us that piled into like a five-seater vehicle.
It was like a Toyota Hilux.
It was like a truck.
So it was a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was like, I was actually sitting on the roof of the truck while they were driving, and there was like a couple in the back of the pickup and a couple on the roof, and then a couple piled in on the seats, and you know, you do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
There's no traffic laws there in the bush of Africa. But so we're driving, and we get to the village, and where we think that they are, Zambians are not typically very good at giving directions. And they say it's just there. And it could be 10 minutes. It could be, you know.
2 hours.
2 hours. You just never know. So we pull up and we just get out of the vehicle and we just start walking, looking for people. And we came across a house, or, I mean, it's not like a house that we would consider a house. It's more like a hut, or just, you know, a clay kind of made thing, whatever it looks like. And then, so we just start talking to them. We start asking them, about their life. We start sharing who we are, why we're here. And we start bringing the gospel to them. And so as each one of our team members just starts sharing different parts of the gospel, you know, maybe one sharing about creation, one sharing about Jesus dying on the cross, and new identity in Christ, and, you know, all of those wonderful things. The Lord was just speaking to me about just the weight of the people that were in front of me, that there was something, even though they had never heard of the name of Jesus, they didn't go to church, they didn't have all these things, there was something that they were wanting from God. There was something that there was just like this pull happening. I don't know if you've ever felt that before while talking to somebody, but there was just this like need that they had. And it wasn't anything specific. It wasn't like, oh, they need a healing, or oh, they need freedom. It was just like they needed something from God that I can't give them, that God has to give them. And it was on like a deep level. And so it's like, all right, God, what do you want to do with this? And so they turned to me and asked if I had anything to share. And I was just kind of speechless, because I knew that there was just this something happening in the spirit. And I just wanted to get out of the way and let the Lord move. And so I asked, I brought it up to them. I, you know, explained everything. It's like, you know, you've heard about the God that we serve. And if you have a need, if there's something that you're wanting from God, He wants to meet those needs. He wants to meet you right where you're at. If it's love that you need, He wants to fill that. If it's peace that you need, if it's just a deeper relationship with Him, He wants to meet that. And so I just started praying over them and releasing whatever God had for them as individuals. It started out, I think, with just like 4 people. And then as you start talking, it's a communal culture. And so I think we had like 15 people there.
It was more like 25, 30.
Okay. 20, 25 people. And so I just felt like as I was praying that God was meeting each one individually. He was encountering them personally, which was just a beautiful time. And then we had spent quite a while with those people and had talked to some people beforehand. So it was getting ready to come back to camp for dinner. And so we started walking back to camp, hoping that the vehicle that dropped us off was going to meet us somewhere along the way. And we weren't going to have to walk all the way back. But when we started walking back, we ran into another part of our team. We kind of divided up a little bit. And they were like, you know, we were just at this house, and they told us that there was a paralyzed man a couple of houses down here. And so we're like, all right, let's go talk to this man. And we didn't have very much time, and he didn't have very much time either. And so we just quickly, like, this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done for you. Like, is this something that you want? Because he can make you walk. He can heal your legs. And so we prayed over him. He was in, like, a wheelchair, a Zambian-made wheelchair that looks nothing like an American wheelchair. It's more like a seat with a leg and maybe one wheel on this side or something. I don't know. But we started praying over him. He had been paralyzed from the waist down because of an injury since he was like
seven
years old, and he was probably in his 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
So his whole life, basically. His whole memory was in this chair. And so we just started praying over him. And his like skinny little legs, the first time we prayed, his toes started to wiggle. And then we're like, okay, we're going to pray again. And then his whole leg started to wiggle. And it was just, every time we prayed, it was like God did something else, and God did something else. And he was healed.
Yeah, he was healed. Full rotation in both legs. Like, they were still skinny, so he was like kind of wobbly whenever. But the Lord was growing it. Yeah. And
he miraculously got healed.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was crazy.
Yeah. And then we left that house and we were trying to get back. And then there was like a lady that stopped us that had saw what happened. And she was like, you know, I'm in pain. Pray for me. Pray for me. And so we got to pray for her and she got healed. And so I just wanted to share that testimony just to see how God meets every different person individually. And it was just a really cool day. It was a special day that God, just the heavens were open and God moved.
Yeah. And that's just, we love it. I love, you know, we're coming with the gospel, with the greatest gifts you can ever give someone, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's just amazing how each one of those testimonies opened up a door for someone else and people started to gather. And it's just like a little taste of what we get to see. And it's one of many testimonies. I also want to share a testimony about the other aspect of our job. And so we lead about 4 to 6 of those 2-week trips every summer. And we spend 6 months overseas. And when we're overseas, we handle all the logistics, all the scouting out the area that we're going to, really in preparation for the people coming. And then we lead the trip. But we're also in the States for 6 months. During that time, we're really just like going to churches and stuff and recruiting and asking people to come with us on those trips. And even more than that is just seeing something that's in someone and pulling it out. Just the God plan upon their life and talking about the nations and the need. Because honestly, the harvest is plentiful. It is so plentiful, but the laborers are unfortunately few. And we need people. There are so many open doors into other nations right now. Even as us as an organization, we have literally like the Prince of Madagascar is asking our team to come into the country because he believes that his people need the Lord, and we just don't have the missionaries for it yet. There's a team that's fundraising right now, but it's like we have open doors into Mongolia. We're in the Middle East, and we just. The need is great. We need more people. So if you have missions on your heart, please talk to us. But if you could put up the picture of Tyler and Gretchen for us. This is a couple that while we were here in the States, it's just amazing. Tyler, Gretchen's actually been to church camp. Some of you might actually know her. I think she only won her senior year, but I think she's helped as a leader in times before. And Tyler, I met in college, loves the Lord, felt a call to ministry while we were there, but then kind of fell on some hard times, dropped out of Geneva, just got into different stuff, really wasn't pursuing the Lord. And we actually reached out to them to kind of just do a FaceTime with them over COVID, talk about what we do. And just during that meeting, it was obvious that there was things going on in their life. And we kind of just put aside what we were talking about and just decided to kind of speak into that a little bit. And Tyler reached out to me after the call and he's like, hey man, can I meet with you, just me and you? And so a couple weeks later, he comes over to my place and we just sit down and he talks to me about how he just got fired from his job because he refused to, him and his manager were not handling money in an ethical way. And he had had enough and he kind of stood up but got fired from it. He was just in a broken position. He was battling with a lot of issues, even health issues at the time. And just in that time though, as the Lord was just, as I was just encouraging and being there for him, I was like, man, dude, what if you just went? I know you know the Lord. Why don't you just go somewhere for like 3 months? It was the training that me and Lindsay went to. And just let God do something in your life, you know. Get away from all of this and get to a place where the Lord can speak and really to be saturated. And he was like, eh, whatever.
First, we tried to get them to go on a trip with us. And then the Lord actually ended up changing it into, like, training to be missionaries.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so he called, like, 6 weeks later after kind of talking about that. And was like, hey, what about going on a trip? And we're like, oh yeah, awesome, awesome. And then a couple weeks go by and then they're like, well, we still want to go on your trip, but we think we should go to this 3 month training. And we're like, I mean, forget about our trip. Like, go get trained. It's like, you know, don't worry about our trip to Cambodia. And along the way, they were just like, all right, we're going to do this thing. And then, back in Thanksgiving, he actually had a horrible fall and, got diagnosed with, MS. And just kind of a blow, but honestly, he was so believing God, and him and his wife just decided, you know, we're still going to go. And so they just prayed. They fundraised, I think, $18,000 in 6 weeks. They are currently actually in Zambia right now being training as missionaries, and we just got a call from them, or a voice message a week and a half ago, and they're like, we're going to be missionaries full-time in the northwest portion of Zambia. We're going to devote our lives to this. And I don't know if you know this, which I probably should, but he actually was prayed over while we were there. And, he said the Lord spoke to him that he's completely healed of his MS and like, praise God. But like, that's the other part of our job is, you know, the Lord using us to see people like that and to call them to something, that's bigger than themselves. And so I love that part. I'm kind of like, I don't know, like if I was part of a football coaching staff, I'd be like the recruiter. I'd love to go to the high schooler, you know, and be like, you can be on our team. I see a place for the team. I just, my heart beats for that. I want to bring people with, you know, me and just, I don't know. Some of the testimonies we share, you just see things that you've never even dreamed about. I mean, I know a lot of you can testify by just even following God. You see things that you would have never dreamed. You know, you're fulfilled in ways that you never thought. And so we just wanted to share those couple testimonies. Just give you guys a little bit better picture of, like, what we do. And we love our job. It's a dream job, honestly. And, yeah, is there anything?
Absolutely. Just like a quick side note, we never like focusing on this because we honestly believe that people are the currency of heaven. But we are in the process of fundraising right now, so which is typically monthly partnership. So if you're interested in that, if you're interested in walking through ministry with us, we would love to chat with you out in the lobby if you'd like to be a part of this. But yeah, like DJ said, our heart is to make missions real to people, to not just make it about these missionaries who are off in Africa that you never hear from, but to make this real, to share the testimonies, to share the photos and the faces and say, you can be a missionary too in your workplace, in your school, and, you know, and wherever you're at. So yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome. Yeah. I love you.
Love you too. So cute.
Hey, also at the least, if you go to the mission field, you find a wife and about to have a kid. So, I mean, if you're single, there's always that too. I know. That is true. Don't go to the mission field. But when you're following God's plan for your life, usually brings that person alongside. And so excited to be here this morning. Such a sweet time during worship. And just the ministry that the Lord was doing. And there's part of me that's like, do I even need to preach? You know, he's so good to us. He's so good to us. I think it's interesting, but really with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit obviously has something to do this morning, because a lot of what was spoken this morning is what has been on my heart. And the journey that the Lord has really been taking me this past like month and a half. Month and a half ago, I was kind of in prayer, and to be completely honest, even though I'm a missionary, I was in a rough patch of just prayer with the Lord. I really was just wrestling. I was going to my time in prayer, and it was like pulling teeth. Like when it came to like wanting to talk to him or share or just even praying for other people. And I was getting really frustrated about it, honestly. There was just some anger built up of things that the Lord had just been dealing with me in my heart, some healing. And during one of the times of prayer just a month and a half ago, where really things started to just like switch recently, I just finally was like done. I'm just like, God, I'm so frustrated right now, because I've experienced your love. I've been in a place of prayer where it's like, I don't want to leave. I've been it's like, I'm just sick of this. Like I'm mad and I'm mad at you and I can't even really pinpoint it. And like, I'm just all frustrated. Like what is going on, Lord? Like, please show me, like, what is going on? And the Lord spoke to me very clearly, he's like, DJ, you are viewing yourself. You are a soldier right now. But where you should be is a prince. And it just hit me, it rocked me to my core, because I was like, yeah, yeah. And he's I mean, obviously the Lord's right, because, you know, he always is. But I just started to like just dwell on that and realizing that, like, okay, yes, I'm following the call of God upon my life, where he's directed me. We're going to the mission field. We just got back from Zanzibar a couple months ago. We were in Zambia in August during COVID, and we saw people saved. But what the Lord was speaking to me through, just what he said there about being a soldier and not a prince, was like, DJ, you are following my orders and you are serving me, but that relationship with me, like, it's not there. You're just following orders. And he's like, I desire more than just for you to follow and obey me. I desire a relationship with you. I desire closeness with you. Which obviously, a prince, in a relation to a king, King Jesus, he's in the inner courts with him, you know. He eats, he dines with him. And so, just been dwelling on that and really just enjoying the Lord walking me through that, to be honest. And that was kind of where I saw what the Lord wanted to speak today. Because I started to think about, what are other places in the kingdom? You know, if we're in this, we are on a real kingdom. I know you've been talking about the kingdom of God. But where do we stand? I would say some of us are in that soldier. We feel as a soldier that we might not feel close to God. We might not know what he's really doing, but we're following his orders. We're serving him. There might be some of us that is, you know, we're just a commoner in the kingdom, you know. We try to follow his laws as best we can, you know. But God's sovereign, and he's doing what he wants to do. And, you know, I'll benefit from being a Christian or being in his kingdom. And, yeah, I'll just not really make much impact other than just being in there. Or are we I try to find a better word than this, but a politician. And I know that has connotations, but really I wanted to focus on, you know, are we someone that our worth is dependent on the people that vote us in and what the people that voted us in say about us, you know, and not about what the king says about us. And are we serving the people rather than serving our God, or and we're more fellowship with the people than we are with our king? Or then there, I feel like there's even some of us in here that are, I feel like we're outsiders in this kingdom, or even slaves to a degree, where we know we're in the kingdom because we are, but we are still defined by our past, where we came from. And I just believe this morning, and especially through what the Lord has already been saying, is like he wants to take us higher. He wants to take us to that place where, you know, we're princes, not we're in his royal family, because they have access to him. They have relationship with him. You know, they know the king on a first name basis. They dine with the king. You know, they have conversations with the king. And the king goes out of his way to teach them how to run the kingdom. And I really believe this is where our authority comes from. You know, he wants to walk us through and shows us the ways of the kingdom. It reminds me of, I don't know, I'm married now, so I watch more of these movies, but Cinderella, the live action movie, there's a scene where the, you know, Prince Charming and Cinderella meet on like a horse, and she asks like what he does, and you know, he doesn't want to, he's surprised that he found someone that didn't know that he was the prince, and so he wanted to hide what he was doing, but he's like, I'm an apprentice. And and later on in the movie, he's like, well, you just told me that you were an apprentice. And he's like, well, I was an apprentice to a king. But how true is that? We really are apprentices to the king. And the goal of like a, well, now I'm going into Star Wars, but a master and an apprentice is that the apprentice would, you know, learn everything from the master, and then even surpass the master. And this is, I mean, you look at Jesus's life, and this is even when he's like, everything that I do, I saw my father doing. And in essence, he didn't have the keys of the kingdom yet. He was the Prince of Peace, but he wasn't the King of Kings yet. You know, it's awesome watching The Chosen when they pray all at the King of the Universe, but God sent his son to put him above. But in that time, he was the apprentice. And in that same way, we are apprentices to King Jesus. And this is the relationship that he's bringing us in. This is why we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Because it's not just that we got a written letter, which we did, the word of God, but that just says it, and it's like, we go to the door, it's like, well, here's our pass, or here's my card that I swipe, and it's like, no, we actually belong there. We've been there. We have a right to be in there. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And this is like where the Lord is taking us. And I'm telling you, intimacy is such a, you know, interesting word. And I'm going to botch this because I did earlier. But my wife, a lot of times when she preaches on this, says it's into me that you see. And it's really about opening yourself up fully to Jesus and to God, who has already opened himself fully to you. Which is scary. And I think if we're in these four different or five different areas, and we could be a slave one day, we could be a prince another, we could be a soldier another day, it affects our view of that and keeps us, our view of God, and keeps us from the intimacy. I mean, the soldier, looks at God as someone that's giving him his marching orders. That is like, I don't really know what's going on. I will fight for you because I feel that call. But I don't know what you're doing. I don't really know you. And then the slave is, I'm just doing this because, you know, benefit from a good kingdom. But I still am in bondage from where I came from. Or the politician is sometimes fighting against God. You know, I might be able to run it better, or, you know, honestly, I get my worth a lot more from the people around me than I do from you. And then I forget what the other one is already, but, the commoner is just, well, yeah. I know the name of my king, but that's about it. I don't really know the inner courts. I don't know the way that he does things. I don't know what it's like to spend time with him like Adam did in the cool of the day, you know, to walk with him, to talk with him. And so that's kind of like the journey that the Lord has been taking me on. And I believe he's here this morning just to present that invitation. I was in one of the things that most impacted me, and I've been reminded of it so much this past month and a half. I was at this conference in Kansas City, and we were just having this beautiful moment with the Lord. It was supposed to be a Q&A session, but the guy that came in to do the Q&A was just, you know, out of his mind, basically. The Lord was just moving, and he was, yeah. But he said this that rocked my world, is that the one time the Lord spoke to him in his quiet place after he had spent time in prayer, and he was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I haven't been praying. I'm sorry I haven't been there, like, just feeling the weight of, you know, not doing his job as a minister, and just kind of, he just speaks to him so kindly. He's like, you know, I get it, you're sorry, but I just want to know, I just missed you. I just missed you. Like, your God in heaven just misses you. You know, he sent his son for us to be in his family. I mean, I think it's Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians 1:5, you know, he predestined us to be adopted into his family. Like, he didn't want subjects. He didn't want slaves. He just didn't want a people that he could rule over. He's like, no, I want a family. I want people that I can do life with just as much as they want to do life with me. And so, for some of the parents in the room that have kids that, you know, are off and have kids and have their own lives, like, when they come over, like, you know, you're so just enjoy to just see them because you miss them, you know? It doesn't really matter as much if, like, they did X, Y, and Z or whatever. Like, you just want to spend time with them. And that's the way that the Father God looks at us. And this is why we can look at him, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and we can say, Abba, Father. We can just accept and receive his grace and approach him and spend time with him. And that's why there's no condemnation in his presence. That's why, like I said, he could boldly approach the throne of grace. Like that, we're needed in that place. You really need it. The best version of you is when you're with him. During this time, I've been reading a lot in Song of Solomon, which sometimes is I don't want to say a weird book, but it's like, as a guy, it's just, I know that the woman represents the church, and I know the guy represents, you know, Jesus. But still, I will say, though, now that I'm married, it's a lot easier to understand. yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't notice that before in that. Yeah, I need to stop talking about that before I say something. But I've just been captivated about just that book. Mike Bickle from International House of Prayer said one time that Romans is about what God did for us, but Song of Solomon or Song of Songs is about how he feels about us. And how often do we avoid this book? I mean, I was reading in there and I'm like, some of this is just like crazy. Like, I don't know, like in chapter 2, like it's obvious how much he loves me. It's obvious. Or the Lord saying to the woman, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. I feel like some of us don't even like our own voice, whether that's singing, whether that's talking. And yet the Lord is telling you that, like, I love it. It's uniquely yours. Like, I want to hear from you. Like, you have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes. Your love delights me. This is what Jesus is telling you. Your love delights me. And then this always, turn your eyes away, for they overpower me. That Jesus, when his bride, which is his church collectively, but also you individually, when you look upon him, it overwhelms him. No wonder he's just like, I miss you when you come to him in prayer. Like, it overwhelms him. You overwhelm the King of the universe. You overwhelm Jesus. And so often we think of ourselves as so, what do we have that's special? You are his creation. Psalms 119, David is talking about this. He's like, he's basically like, I'm amazed that you're even mindful of man. Your thoughts about them are as numerous as the sands. Like, that's a lot, like, as the grains of sand. You know how much grain of sand there is? A lot. A lot. I think there was something like, I looked it up, in one cup of, like, sand, there's, like, 8 million grains of sand or something. And to think about all the sand of the earth, all on the bottom of the sea, it's how much he thinks about you. You know, and we're afraid to go to this God, because we feel condemnation, we feel shame, we feel that he won't love us or that we've done something. Guys, that's why he sent his son. That's why Jesus died on the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? It was the relationship. It was the fact that we can now be adopted as sons and daughters into his family. That he can have that relationship that's not only redeeming what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, but better. What did Jesus say to his disciples? It's better that I go so that the advocate could come. I love watching The Chosen. It is such an incredible series of just, I don't know, I just feel like you just get to see, you know, Jesus walking. But it was better for those disciples that were dealing with him on an everyday basis that Jesus would leave, because now Jesus was no longer tired and had to go in his tent, or he wasn't. They had full access to him at every moment. And every single day, because the Holy Spirit is inside of them. And we are all sealed with that because we're believers. You have complete access to Him. Complete access to Him. We don't have to wait to go to heaven. Is going to be amazing, but we don't have to wait to have that closeness with Him. He's closer than the mere mention of His name. Before the name Jesus leaves your lips, He's closer than that. And this is just that the God of the universe would do that for us. Like, that was His plan from the beginning. I was even just dwelling yesterday of, like, about the fall. God's plan was always to make us His family. He didn't want us to just be one of His other creations. He wanted to be our Father. He wanted His Son. He wanted us to be His Son's bride. He wanted the Holy Spirit within us. And so, I feel like that's just the invitation for today. You know, honestly, we could sit here and talk about this all the time, but, you know, you can talk about going on a date or spending time with your wife or your spouse or spending time with your kid all you want, but until you do it, there's no relationship built. You can have the best intentions of the world, but until there's actually action put to that, nothing really happens. And so I think that's just the opportunity I think that the Lord's given today. So you've heard about it, but let's just invite Him in, you know, to this right now. If everyone could just bow your heads and just focus on Him. The Lord is, He's here. We yield to You, Jesus, and what You say about us. And because You died, we are now seated with You. A place we didn't have to earn. Lord, I thank You that You like spending time with us. And You like who we are. And we know that You miss us. Talk to Him with whatever has been on your heart. One of my favorite verses at the end of Song of Solomon is, "Oh my darling, lingering in the gardens, your companions are fortunate to hear your voice. Let me hear it too." He just wants to hear your voice. And just talk to Him. There's no condemnation. There's nothing wrong you can say. He loves you when He's inviting you to just get closer to Him.
You all can continue to stay in this posture of just submission to the Lord, because it's not about, you know, what DJ is saying or what I'm saying. This is about you and Him. This is about your connection, your relationship with Him. But I just wanted to speak to some of you all who, you know, some of these things. As much as this is a message about intimacy, it's also about identity. And, you know, a lot of these things that we're saying, you know, that you hear in the Word that you're the righteousness of Christ and your sons and daughters of the Most High King. And, you know, that all these things that God is, He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who opens deaf ears and opens blind eyes. You know those things in your head, but you don't know them in your heart. The Lord showed me a picture as we were just praying for you guys of a heart that was had calluses on it. And I just really believe that the Lord is just wanting to break that hopelessness off of some of you all, and the, you know, where you know things in your head but you don't believe them in your heart. To have the courage to believe again. And you know, the thing about intimacy, I remember just, you know, while I was in Bible college, just crying out to God because I was so hungry. I wanted so much more of Him than I could even fathom. And I remember just crying out to God, saying, God, I want more of You. I want more of You. I want to know You. I just all these things. I want more of You. And it's like, Lindsay, You have all of Me, but I don't have all of You. And that's the thing about intimacy is, you know, on a human level, like DJ can give me all of him, but if I don't give him back all of me, that's not true intimacy. It's all in, 100%. And so those places on your heart that have been calloused, whether you've had, you know, bad experiences or a time where you feel like God didn't come through for you and you were hoping that He did, or that one person that said something, or, you know, that relationship with your father that just broke you. Whatever that looks like for you, we want this to be personal. We want this to be a time where you are just opening your heart up to God, saying, God, heal those calluses. Because those calluses affect our ability to respond. You know, how can we sing a song like Waymaker, Miracle Worker, and not believe it? Well, it's because of those calluses on our heart. They affect our ability to respond to our King's presence, to respond to Him pulling us close. So we just wanted this to be a personal time of connection where you can kind of reflect and identify, like, am I one of those things? Am I, you know, in the outer courts? Am I a politician? Do I care too much about what people think of me? Do I have calluses on my heart that hinder me from coming close to You, from hearing Your voice, from affecting my ability to believe in You? So we just wanted to give you a minute to just have a moment with the Lord, identify some things, and allow Him to bring healing into your heart.